All right. Good morning, church. I tell you, our worship service is second to none. Let's give our worship team a great hand. What a great job every week. It just really moves the heart, and we've sang some great songs this morning. You know, we're going to continue our study of Romans as was shared today. And today we're going to be looking at chapter 8. You know, I listened to Ross's message last week online, and he did a phenomenal job breaking down Romans 6 and 7 and just describing God's grace and talking about the struggle in the flesh. And, you know, it's cool because Paul, when he's writing, there's just a flow to his writing. And after talking about this struggle in the end of Romans 7, we get to Romans 8. Oh, yeah. And he talks about there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but that is probably the greatest thing to hear in all of the New Testament passages. For those that are in Christ, there is no condemnation. You gotta let that sink in. No condemnation. Yet, we can sometimes feel condemned. Well, this morning, I'm here to set us free by deciding to believe some things that God says, by looking at the word and being reminded, and by deciding to believe. I'm gonna believe what God says, and I'm gonna act the way that he says I need to act, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you again, Lord, that we get an opportunity to worship you together. Thank you so much for the incredible songs that we sang. Thank you for Mark Jr. taking us to the cross and just reminding us of just the incredible love that you have for us and how you've given us a gift in Jesus. Father, as we read Romans, I pray, Romans 8, that you would help us to not just hear your word, but that we believe it and internalize it in our hearts, and that we walk out of church today with a different mindset, that we walk out bolder than we walked in, that we walk out more convinced about what you've done and about what you're going to do. God, we love you. We thank you so much, and we pray all of this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. You know, on Friday, I decided to do a little experiment. I went to the beauty salon, and I said, I want you to dye my hair. So some of us are like, I didn't even notice. Amen. So I went to the beauty salon, and I said, I want you to take the grays out. And she said, all of them? I said, as many as you can get. I want to do an experiment. And I wanted to see what people would say about how old they thought I was. And so I, you know, took my daughter and we did a little experiment. So I want you to check this video out.
I would say 41.
41. Awesome. Great. Okay, here's a question. How old do you think?
You? I would say late 30s, like 39, 38.
Thank you. How old do you think I am?
So if it was first glance, I'd say probably like 34.
34. Okay.
34.
Take the hat off. Take the hat off. Okay.
Are you? 32. You know you're my man, we look the same age too when I'm balding. I look older today.
Oh, you funny.
Yeah, when I'm clean shaving, I'm like 26 again.
Man. Yeah, yeah.
Nah, definitely mid-30s, easy.
Mid-30s.
Okay.
Yeah, no doubt.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
no you. Doubt, man. 80s.
Daniel, how old do you think I am?
I'd say about 45.
Oh. Nice. Good job.
How old do I think you are?
How do I look?
Like, older than 35, but less than 40. So, and within that time range.
Okay. Thank you.
That's the reality. All right. About 22 days, on 28th, I'll be 47. Right? But there's something about reality. Because my body tells me, oh, buddy, you are 47. I was working out the other day and maybe overdid it a little bit. The next day, I had a twisted ankle as if I fell down the steps, and I just looked in the mirror and said, I'm not the man I used to be. But the world can try to make us sometimes think that we are something that we're not. And sometimes we're not really even living in reality. But for those that are in Christ, here is your reality. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. That means it fights. It will not submit. It is going to do what it wants to do, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. And we'll stop right there. This passage is incredible because Paul tells us a few things that we need to remember. And my first point this morning is the reality of freedom. The reality of freedom. All right. The title of the message is Free at Last. Look at this video.
Everybody is a good thing.
decided to follow Jesus.
That is your sister in Christ, Aunt Nancy. That's Ray Clark's aunt, who happened to, visit here several times. Some of the sisters had even began studying the Bible with her. And in fact, the last time that when we met at the Javits North about 3 or 4 years ago, she happened to be sitting next to the couple that led the church there. And they made a connection, and she came back and forth. And on March 1st of this year, Aunt Nancy became our sister in Christ. You know, her reality is that there's no longer any condemnation in Christ. She's been added to the body of Christ. She's now received the gift of the Holy Spirit. She's a new creation. She's got a new name. She's got a new family. Her name is now written in the book of life. And when her time comes for her to die, she will close her eyes and wake up in the presence of our Lord. She's free from the law of sin and death. You know, sin no longer is the master. She's no longer controlled by the sinful nature. And death is no longer the end of the story for Aunt Nancy. Instead, she now lives under grace. No longer having to perform or earn a right relationship with God, but it's been given because of what Jesus has done. This is her reality. And if you're in Christ this morning, that's your reality. It's not a lie. It's not a, well, only when I'm doing good, only when I feel like it, only when everything is kind of going the way I think it should go. The reality is that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But see, we have an enemy who wants us to think differently. And that's the devil. Satan loves to accuse, to abuse, to create doubt and fear. And he wants you and I to not believe what God says. No, in fact, he wants us to question what God says. And that's why it's so important as a disciple of Jesus to be continuously reading God's word, continually feeding the part of us that nothing else can touch. Money can't feed my soul. Pleasure can't satisfy me. But it's only God's word. It's God's spirit. It's connecting with God to really feed my soul. It's amazing. You know, people, Paul here describes people live two ways. You can either live according to the flesh, or you can live according to the spirit. There's no in between. You know, when you live according to the flesh, you're depending on you. You're getting your confidence from what you do or what you don't do. And it really is all about you. All about your effort. All about how you look. All about what you think. And you know, some of us, we've tried that, right? And it doesn't work. But then you got the other side of living according to the Spirit. And you know, when you're living according to the Spirit, the result is life and peace. See, what can keep us living in the Spirit? And here again, Paul reminds us, what does that? It's a spiritual mindset. Did you hear me, church? That's the answer. What can keep us living in the spirit is a spiritual mindset. Well, where does that come from? Well, it comes from knowing what God actually thinks and says. It comes from being immersed in the Word, so that when those temptations come that tells you you're not worthy, or you're worthless, or you're a loser because you forgot to do this, or you happen to fail, or I know for me, you start out on that workout diet plan and you fall off a little bit. And you feel bad about that, or you feel bad about yourself. We got to keep going back to the scriptures and remembering what God says. He's not delighted by the strength of your legs or how you look. What he's fired up about is the man that fears him and that loves him, that trembles at his word. See, I'm not sure where you are today. Where is your mindset this morning? Where's your mindset been this week? Well, I'll tell you one thing. If it hasn't been on the things of God, I want to encourage you to get your mind set on the Spirit, on the things that God wants you to be thinking about. And the beautiful part about that, most of the time, is that it's not about us. You know, I heard this acronym about joy. You want to be joyful? He says, think this way: Jesus, others, and yourself. And you'll be as joyful as ever. Whatever is on your hearts, whatever is on our hearts will occupy our minds. But whatever we deliberately put in our minds will work down into our hearts. It's a choice and a decision that you and I must make if we're going to experience the reality of freedom. Now, in order to experience the reality of freedom, we have to remember the reason for freedom. Right. Now, I want you to skip down in our chapter. And again, Larry said it, you know, this chapter is just chock full of nuggets. And again, I hope that we're, you know, reading it on our own and in our times with God. But skip down with me to verse 32. Okay, the reason for freedom. It says here, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Again, my second point this morning is the reason for our freedom. You know, if you want a measure of God's commitment to our freedom, then here it is right here. He was so committed to bringing us back to himself that he gave up his only son to death on our behalf. So, he who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not also give us everything else? You know, church, that means we don't really have anything to be worrying about. Let me say that again. We don't have anything to worry about. When you think about this, when you compare it, and you say, oh, okay. But think, what greater treasure is there than God's own son. I want you to really ask yourself, what is it that you wish God would give you? And then that would just make everything great. And some of us are saying, well, hey, I got a few things. I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that, you know, and I'll just be happy. Really? Really? Just ask yourself whether that thing is worth more than God's only son. You know, it says in verse 33, God has justified us. And again, this is something I know that I've read this before, I've said this before, and then just studying it, and I got to continue to keep reminding and understanding that this is what God actually has done for me and for all of those that are in Christ. He says that he's justified us. He's already passed judgment, and his judgment is that our wrongs have been paid in full. All of them? Yes, all of them. Ones that you haven't even committed yet? Yes. The ones that you're going to commit this afternoon. They've been paid for. Justice has been satisfied. And you know, Paul, he goes into an analogy in the, you know, in the legal system. If you're guilty of a crime, you're sentenced to serve a penalty of some sort, let's say a prison term. Now, when that prison term is over, as far as the law is concerned, you can no longer be found guilty of that crime. Your offense has been taken away by your time in prison. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't still remember what you did. Your victims may well still be suffering from whatever it is that you did to them. But as far as the law is concerned, you are completely free. No one can accuse you of that crime again. The police can't come and say, hey, there he is. Let's arrest him again. No. And a judge can't try you again because your sentence has been satisfied. You know, brothers and sisters, our freedom comes from an amazing God who has given up his son and he's justified you and I that are in Christ. And you know, when we get that deep down into our hearts, it can't go without an effect. It can't go without, oh, that's just great. Thank you, Lord. And then we just walk away and go on with life. It has to move us. It has to change our thinking. Because now we are free to do not what we want to do, but we're free to do what he desires for us to do. The one that has empowered you and I with his spirit wants us to emulate what Jesus was like while he was here on this earth. So now that there's not just one Jesus, no, there's 18 little Jesuses running around the state of New Jersey trying to show people that there's freedom in Christ. Do you know somebody that needs to be set free? Set free from the past hurts. Set free from being religious and learning how to be righteous. Set free from addictions like pornography and gambling. Set free from alcoholism and drugs. Do you know anybody that needs to be set free from trying to be a perfectionist? Or be set free from the insecurities of thinking about, consumed with what people think about them? And they're awesome, but they're still wondering what people think about them. You know anybody like that? Oh boy, I was a person like that. Recently, my uncle lent me some old videos, VHS tapes, from when I was in high school. And no, I don't have any to show today, but they may be coming in the future. But you know, it was very special because I'm watching this old game of when we played Somerville, Sary's old high school. And we were just killing them, you know, like. But anyway, I go in and score a layup, and the camera guy pans to the crowd, and there she is, sitting there, you know, clapping, and I paused it, and I looked at her, and I said, "That's my girl." But here's what blew me away. God knew 31 years ago, this is what you guys are going to go through. Here's my plan for your life. Now, that 17-year-old didn't know diddly squat, didn't have any clue. And neither did I. But boy, if I knew then what was to come, oh my gosh. How amazing. God has a plan for your life. Your life. He's got a plan for your kids' life. He's got a plan for your grandkids' life. And part of that plan being fulfilled is that we be spirit-filled people that do His will, because we know why we've been set free. And it's not to live for us. It's not to live for pleasure. It's not to live to gain things and all of that. And I'm not saying things are bad, but I'm saying we have got to live for God's will being done in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Are you with me, church? That's how we got to live, by His Spirit. And see, what's the result? What's the result when disciples live by the Spirit that God's put in them? Well, the result of freedom is that we are more than conquerors. Look at verse 28. We're going to read this, and I got a couple of minutes. All right. Verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Again, church, God has called us not to be who we are. He's constantly trying to help us become more and more like Jesus. We can't forget that. And here's why. That He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What an amazing passage. See, the result of our freedom is that we're more than conquerors. You know, in here, Romans 8, we are given the assurance of God's love, which nothing can separate us. With God on our side, nothing else really matters. Satan will accuse us and is against us, but the idea is that we cannot be successfully opposed. If God gave Jesus for us, surely he will not hold back on any other blessing or any other character trait or anything else that you and I need. To the disciple who holds on to God, nothing in his or her life, no matter how bad, will ever separate him or her from the love of God. You know, that's Ray and Tina Clark. Awesome, faithful disciples for many years. You know, our dear sister Tina found out that she has cancer recently. And she has been going through treatment and fighting this disease. And I, just so those that might say, did you ask her? Yeah, we talked about this. Because when Sari shared with me the conversation with Tina, I was like welling up by her faithfulness. You know, instead of being defeated and discouraged and doubtful, Tina said, this disease has made me think about my purpose. And it's created a reliance and determination that I wouldn't have if I didn't have it. She recently organized a Bible Talk event to reach out to the non-Christian spouses in her small group and said, I want you to come on over. I want you to pray with me. I want you to sing with me. And you know what? They came. And I just thought, wow, that's pretty amazing. You know, just last night, they took a couple out to dinner for Applebee's. And I thought, wow. Because you know what she says? This is not defining me. In fact, this is not stopping me. And you know, I love that spirit because that's what a conqueror does. That's what it means to be more than a conqueror. You know, Tina is a great example of living by faith, having her mind on spiritual things, accepting the challenges, but I'm going to use this challenge to give God some glory. She's not a victim. She's totally a victor. And see, you know, I could say that about many of us here in this room who've experienced incredible challenges. And I think that it's important that we are reminded of this. You know, we just recently had a workshop entitled Restoration of the Heart. And I tell you, it was a great tool to help us learn how to heal and take care of our souls. But church, I want to remind us, Satan is a schemer. And what he wants us to do sometimes is just get inward focused. And just think about our wounds and our brokenness and our issues and not be outward focused. And he wants us to use those things as excuses for why we don't reach out. Or why we don't serve. Because I've been through this and I've been through that. Well, let's flip that. Let's say, you know what? I'm going to let God take my darkness and make it light. And I'm going to see the thing that's good about this. Or I'm going to talk to that person to share my testimony of how God's brought me through this challenge. And you know what? He could do the same for you. See, we all got challenges that we're facing day in and day out. But the question is, how are we allowing those challenges to affect us? Are we using it for God's glory? Or does it shut us down? And hear me out. I'm not being insensitive. Man, some of us have some serious health challenges that do shut us down. So I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is that we continue to remember what God says about who we are. And so maybe I can say a prayer, or maybe I can give a phone call. I can't do what Tina's doing. But I tell you one thing, I'm not going to sit by and just say, oh, woe is me. No, I'm going to stop and say, God's given me comfort. He's given me community. He's given me everything. And I'm going to try to give that and share that with someone else. Let's believe the promise that God's word will not come back void, but will accomplish his purpose like it did in Aunt Nancy's life. You know, if you're a disciple this morning, there's no condemnation for you. I'm going to say that again. There is no condemnation for you. That is your reality. And the reason for your reality is that you got a God who gave up his one and only son. And not only did he give him up for us, he justifies us. And he justified us and he gave him up for us so that we would be the result of freedom, i.e., we're more than conquerors. God gave his son. He justified us because of his grace. As a result, we are free. Free from legalism, free from the law of sin and death, free from the past, free from the thoughts that haunt us. Paul says death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.